Good morning. Welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church. We're delighted that you can come join us and that you can worship with us, both in person as well as online. My name is Pastor James, and we're now going to enter into a time of confession and prayer. Christians, I want to give you a moment to think about the ways that you've judged others this week. Did you consider yourself an expert on something that matters to you and you look down on others because of their inability to be like you? Were you feeling satisfied examining someone else's broken and sin-stained lives while forgetting the mountain of sin in your own life? I want to invite you now to come before God to admit there's hypocrisy in our lives, in your life this week, and then seek Jesus for forgiveness. Father, our conscience is heavy with guilt for our sinful, judgmental attitudes and hypocrisy. We consider ourselves superior and look down on others for being unable to be as smart and funny, talented, hardworking, reasonable, sensitive, experienced, loving, pure, wise, God-fearing, gospel-centered, or generally as good as we are. And our hypocrisy is shocking. Forgive us. Lord Jesus, we need a Savior, and only you can deliver us from our love of self and judgment towards others. Jesus, you perfectly fulfilled every single law, and yet your attitude towards others was consistently love and compassion. Send your Spirit to end the trouble in our broken hearts so that we may look upon others with the same love and compassion that you have lavished upon us. Lord Jesus, as we now enter into your presence to hear you speak to us through your word, I ask that you prepare our hearts to hear and learn and love your words. Let it work in us in the ways that it is required. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. And this is the ESV translation. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared for my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Elder John Huang is one of our founders, and he is our elder and moderator, and it's my pleasure to present him as our speaker for today's sermon. Elder John.
Thank you, Pastor James. Good morning. Last week, we have installed all 27 church deacons for the year of 2022. Today, we are installing the ministry leaders in all three congregations. EC, the English congregation, calls your ministry leaders the servant leaders, an excellent choice of a biblical term. How did this all begin? Well, when the church was first formed, as it grew, there was a problem. That is, some of the Greek-speaking disciples complained to the church leaders, the apostles, that their widows are not properly being fed, or they were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. So in Acts 6:12, we read the following. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, get the whole church together, it is not right that we should give up preaching of the word of God to serve the tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this day. These leaders, deacons, were elected from amongst the congregation, and then they were appointed by the church, appointed by the apostles. Here the word serve is an interesting word, diakoneo. This word has two parts of it, the dia thing, which is like diameter, it goes through. The second part of this koneo thing is dust. So someone, diakoneo, who serves is to go through the dust kicked up by running around or walking very fast to perform a practical service. So servants are the people who are doing that. This time, when the church forms these leaders, represents a structure in the church. Once the structure is in place, we learn that the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and even a great number of the priests become obedient to the faith. So as a result of this, the church grew. Now, what are servant leaders? How does this oxymoronic term come about? Here we have leaders. What about servant? Or here we have servant. What about the leaders? In the text we just read, we just heard, in the first part of it, Matthew 20, 20 to 24, we learned there are just two guys, James and John. It didn't say that. It's the sons of Zebedee. We know those are the two, these are the two guys whose nickname is the sons of thunder. They do things quick, and they figured, now Jesus Christ is going to be the kingdom of God is going to come, and Jesus Christ is going to be the king. So they figured, well, Lord, you be the king. Us brothers will take care of things for you. One sit on your left, one sit on your right, and let's worry about it. Here it says the mother who came and knelt before the Lord. Well, in Mark we see that these two guys come themselves. So Jesus didn't really rebuke them. Jesus said, well, that's not something I can give you. This is something my Father decides. The asking of the two brothers, John and James, constitute a prayer. They pray to the Lord, that's what they want to do. And the Lord is basically saying to them, this is not something you pray. Not everything you pray can be granted. This is not something I can grant you, but you can prepare for it. Can you drink the cup that I have to drink? The cup represents great sufferings handed down, even by the Lord. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to drink the cup? They say, oh, of course, we are prepared. We can do this. And the other 10, who also want to be great in the kingdom of God, find out about this. Well, these two guys want the positions, high positions. So they were indignant. They were very mad. Use current English, you will say they were mad as hell. That's what this word is. How do I know that? Because when this word occurred in scripture, indignant, the original word, when it occurs, it occurred at the time when the crowd wants to stone the first martyr, Stephen, who was a deacon. And they were indignant and they stoned him. And when the disciples are preaching the word and the people were so mad and they want to kill them, at the word indignant is used again. So they're really mad. So there's two guys who want to grab things and there's 10 guys who also want this. And they're mad at us too. So Jesus Christ then asked them over and said, "Well, boys, let's talk." The second part of the scripture we've read, but Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you would be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is totally different from the kingdom of this world. So he said to the disciples, "It shall not be so," grabbing the high powers so that you will be respected, you can do things. It should not be so among you. And Jesus further said, the leaders, the VIPs of the church, are to be the servants. Actually, they are to be your slaves. Actually, this word sometimes is used that way, servant. Ought to be your slaves. And servant leader, this concept is born here. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. In the church, it's not about power. It's about service. Wherever power reigns, there can be problem. However, servanthood, as we'll see, is eternal. Servants, this word we've come across a bit earlier, diakoneo, running through the dust, serving very diligently, very hard. And the guy who runs across these dusts doing these services are the servants, diakonos. You see the two words look very much alike. It's the same root. Diakonos, deacons, servants. Diakoneo, the guy who serves in a practical way. And Apostle Paul was a servant. Apostle Paul is one of those diakonos. As we read in Ephesians 3:7, "Of this gospel I was made a minister," the original word, diakonos, "according to the gift of God's grace." God appointed him so that he can be a servant, a diakonos. Jesus came to serve, as we just read, the verb that's used, diakoneo, came to serve as a servant of God. Why do I harp on these two words? Because that's who deacons are, that's who our servants are, and these two words usually translated as servant, sometimes, especially in the older versions, were used the word bond slaves. Someone who has absolutely no right, or simply just slaves. Actually, it gets worse. In the New Testament scriptures, there's another word that's used for servant. It came from a different Greek word. That word is huperates. Huper, down, low. And rates, the guy who sort of rows the oars in a boat. So, as we read in the scriptures, Apostle Paul was appointed as a huperates. Now, You see in Acts 26:16, when Jesus met this Paul on the way to Damascus, and the great light shone, and Paul fell to the ground, and Jesus said to him, "Rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you." Here the word servant is this word, euparates, the guy who rows down in the boat. Servant? Who are these guys? Well, in the past, these big battleships has no steam engine, has no engine. What are the engine that gets the boat moving? The slaves. Who wants to be down there? Because the boat sinks. So they got some little slaves to do it. And they chain the slaves to their oars, and they have to row there. And they are very important. As you know, if the engine fails, the boat is sitting duck. That's probably the word it comes from. You have to move around. You have to ram people. You're in a war. You fight. So the engine are these huperates. Some of you might have seen a movie. Let's see now. Perhaps not many of you. Ben-Hur. Now, Ben-Hur is a story about someone, a Jew, who was caught, and for a period of time, they were sold to the slaves, and he found himself in one of these boats. And this is a very nice movie. It was 1959, and I think it won about 11 Oscars. So it's a very famous one. And you find this guy in the center, this Charlton Heston, who's rowing the boat, and the captain came down to look at these guys and sees Ben-Hur, Ben-Hur, and whips him. And he sees this Ben-Hur, so he just bears it with the eyes, as you can see here, of hatred. But he did not cry out. The captain said, "Row well and live." Why? Because if they lost, the thing would go down, and all these slaves, all this engine thing, would go down to the sea. They'll die. If they row well, they'll win. What happens if they win? They're still chained there. There's no glory. Who gets the glory? The guys up there, the soldiers. "Hey, we're great. Look, we won." But what about these guys? No glory, only death if they don't do well. Huperates, that's what that word is. That's the word used for servant. That's what's appointed Paul to do. "I appoint you to be a servant." Really, it's no fun. Now, in Proverbs we read, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." What we do actually do not define who we are. Very often we give people a calling card. It tells you, "Oh, you are CEO of this term, and you are the elder of a church, you have PhD and all that." That's what you did, what you are doing. It says nothing about who you are. The guy there looks like a slave, but is he a slave? It depends what's in the heart. So whether you are a servant, it's not defined by what you do alone. Humility is the heart of a servant. It's called the essential quality of servanthood. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, we read, "Though he," referring to Christ, "though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself," pour himself into a human form by taking up the form of a servant. Here the word servant, the word used is doulos. Doulos can only be translated into slave. The other word diakonos can be translated as a minister, as a servant, or some other words. But this word doulos is what's used to describe what Christ, when the Word became flesh and come to our earth, has become, well, taken the form of the doulos, of the slave. As I said earlier, slaves have absolutely no right. You only do things according to your master's desire. In Matthew 11:29, Christ speaking, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He's saying, well, my disciples, my children, follow me, learn from me. For what? For I am gentle and lowly in heart. In other translations, many translations, I am gentle and humble in the heart. Servanthood is not just defined by actions, but also defined, more importantly, by the heart. Unless you are humble in heart, you are not really a real servant. Humility is defined by the heart, not by the hand. Holy Week, there's a particular Thursday we call Maundy Thursday. Refers this word Maundy, it's a word, a Latin word, refers to a command of the Lord. The Lord, on the day he was betrayed, he served the disciples by washing their feet. It becomes something that we do now to be reminded of the fact of who we are. The Pope calls himself the servant of servants, or the slave of slaves. I didn't know slave can own slaves, but anyway. It's a good idea. Here is a picture, it's a ritual. It happens every Maundy Thursday. This in many churches as well. This is particular, this one picture is in the Vatican, where the Pope, the servant of servants, will wash the feet of an ordinary man. Nice picture, nice sleeves. I don't know if you are a servant by just looking. Well, when he's not washing feet, you can easily tell he's different. Well, as I said, one cannot tell a book by its cover. The current Pope may be a very humble man. It's very hard to tell. But we, as servants of God in the church, we examine ourselves. Whether you are humble, whether you are a servant, how can you tell? Easy. When you are treated as a servant, when you are treated as a slave, how you respond tells you who you are. As a young assistant professor of physics in the late 1960s, as a professor of physics at Rutgers University, once I have to drive downtown to teach a class, I think to the pre-meds or somebody. Anyway, I have to drive to the downtown. The parking is very limited. There's a small parking lot, and for the faculty to park. I was very young, not even 30. I want to drive into the parking spot, and there's an attendant who stopped me. Said, "This is not for students. You can't come here." I was very mad. I am a professor. Actually, I'm not a professor. I'm just an assistant professor, but I ignore this little details. I'm a professor. How dare you treat me this way? I have the right to park here. Am I a servant? When you are treated as one, you'll know whether you're a servant or not. Now, our reaction tells a lot for who we are. What about Jesus? When he first saw Nathanael, and Nathanael informed that, oh, Jesus might be the Messiah. He said, well, actually, Jesus heard it. He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" how Jesus react. Well, when Jesus saw him, he walked toward Jesus. Jesus only merely mentioned that Nathanael was a true Israelite, and in whom there was no deceit. Do you detect any of the resentment there? And Jesus would have faced that all through his life, because people, of course, can have no understanding of virgin birth, and you can imagine, but in the scriptures, we see that he said, I'm humble, I am lowly in heart. Indeed, it's true. That's an example Jesus has asked us to follow. How can we do this? So I think it's important to be remembered, to remember. Humility starts with self-denial. Why? Because all this self-importance, the self-pride, the Chinese always say, zigao, meaning self-high, I am somebody, always has the self in there. Once you take the self out, if there's no self, you cannot have self-pride. You cannot have self-importance. So self-denial actually lies at the root of true humility. In Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, will follow me, was another translation, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself is the condition that we can follow Christ. Without self-denial, serving God can be a means to an end. We want something out of the Lord. We serve him. As these two guys we read about earlier in the scriptures, one sit on your left, one sit on the right, that the kingdom comes. Serving God is not a means to an end. It must be end in itself. One has to take the self out of the picture so that we can serve God, so we can truly serve as a servant. That's required of our new servant leaders today we're going to install. Humility thus is a sign of Christian are the followers of Christ. Humility is what happens when one knows God. If you have truly met God, humility becomes natural. And pray to God, praying ceaselessly, unceasingly, is a sign and also a reminder of our humility. Why pray? We often need that reminder that we need God in all aspects in our lives. Humility is not necessarily viewed as a virtue today. In a world that knows not true God, humility is a sign of weakness. Nietzsche, he proclaimed that God is dead, so he deemed humility as a slave morality. Man must learn to struggle to better define himself. Once you take God out of the picture, there's no position, no place for humility. It's against the principles of evolution. How do we view ourselves? Where humility? How important it is for us to view it in our lives? Well, there's a book by Dumas, Christine Dumas. The book titles Jesus and John Wayne. You know, I used to be called John Wayne. I'm John, H-U-A-N-G. This H-U-A thing is very hard for the, now they can pronounce it because they're a little more Chinese now. At that time, when I was teaching here, people doesn't know what to do with my name, Huang. They always pronounce it Wayne.
So I became Jiang Wang. So I've been a Jiang Wang for quite a while. And, you know, macho guy who, who's somebody. And this book about Jesus and Jiang Wang is a critique to especially the evangelical churches of the day. Nowadays, who turns the other cheek without being laughed out of the room? Nowadays, who's willing to walk the second mile without being taken advantage of? American has this can-do spirit. Everything we do, we'll do it my way. Independence, good or bad, it's my way. There's a song which is very old. You might not have heard before. You say, why do you play this old song, My Way by Sinatra? Let me write the music of the nation. I don't care who writes the law of the land. Music really affects people. We are affected by the music a generation ago. What are the music? What are the things that sang by John? What's Sinatra's most famous song? It's this. He's about to depart.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
I did it my way, so proud. Be reminded, a slave, a servant, never does it their way. A servant does the way, the will of the master. That's how servant is defined. In John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do my own will, this is the Lord saying, but the will of him who sent me. A servant is a servant because he does the will of another. When I was in high school, my father is a commandant of a language school, an army language school. He was the major general with stars on his shoulders. And the school and the language school sent an orderly, in other words, a servant from the army, to work in our household, to cook, to clean, and a servant, orderly. This guy, we call him, I forgot his name, but we call him Old Chow. This is the same Chow that Ray Chow's child. So this Old Chow. He's from the north. He is a character. People from the northern China don't like to eat rice in the first place. If they cook rice at all, because we're from the southern part of China, we like our rice soft. It's soft to eat. But this guy from the north, who eats the soft rice? Soft rice is sort of a derogative term in Chinese. Zhiran, fat, no good. So who eats that? So he cooks the rice so hard, he eats it, it's good. But my mother said, but this is too hard for the, too dry, too hard for the kids. No, but they should learn that, to do this. And when he cooks, he's from the north, he uses a lot of garlic and stuff like that. Green onions and stuff with strong taste. And so he cooks them and he eats it. He said, this is so good. But we're from the south, we like the seafood. He doesn't cook that. So the question is now, is he a servant in the house? I think he is sort of he opens a a eatery in our kitchen. We are not, my mother is not his master. My mother is his customer. If you like, you can come. Servant must do the will of the master. But how can you do the will of the master if you don't know him? So a servant must know his master. Jesus said, I know him, Father, because I am from him, and he sent me. Jesus, I come to do his will because I know him. I'm from him. Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone who to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So I know the Father. I came to here to do the will of him who sent me. Again, this calls to mind someone that I've met in high school. Those are the eventful years. And it's a very large school, high school. We are in the building which is the furthest south, in a way, that faces the back door. The school is between two very important streets, long streets, and the best way to get from one street to another street is through the school. In other words, if you go on the front door or go to the back door, there's a very different. And since the students like to sneak out from the back door, so the school puts somebody there to guard the door. He's the doorkeeper. Doorkeeper has this responsibility of checking the students whether they have a note from the school, so that for the academic affairs department, so that he can go through. So this is his pass. One day, the president or the principal of the high school, Dr. Huang, the other one who wants to go to the back door, through the back door, to do some school business. So he got into his pedicab. There's no car, not that many cars. If you don't know what a pedicab is, this is a restored cab. Pedicab, three wheels. The principal has a larger one, so there's a guy in front and provide the power. He sits in the back, so they take this thing and go to the back door. And the guy said, where's your slip? And the principal said, but I'm the principal. He said, the principal said, I'll not let anybody out without a slip. Where's your slip? So what can you do? He has no slip. So he has this guy go back to the buildings to get the slip. And so here's the slip and get out. Here's someone who does the will of something he has no idea of. He doesn't know his master. It's like the Jewish people. Reads the Bible, doesn't recognize Christ. The words are dead. The Spirit brings life. When we read, when we say we're going to do something, it's not just what you're doing, whether it's from the scriptures or even, but rather, what does the particular scripture means? So Jesus said to the Jews at the time, he said, talking about the Sabbath, it's a Sabbath. It's for man, not the other way around. So he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So to understand to know the master, is the key. So all the servant leaders employ you to know the master in order to serve him. Solomon once asked in his Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does a man gain by all that toil in his life under the sun? We work, we toil, vanity is the end. Yet we read Jesus said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servants be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. honor has value. If they honor your check, says your check has value. My Father will honor him if we serve. Jesus serves, if anyone serves me, serves the Lord. Must follow him. Wherever Jesus is, we will be there also. Talking about relationship with the Lord, but through serving him. Talking about knowing him. Talking about the efforts we spend will never be in vain. To serve him is to know him. To serve him is to be with him. Servanthood has eternal value. Let's pray. Father, I do pray for all the servant leaders that will be installed today. Father, I pray that you grant him a heart of humility. Humility itself is not a fruit of the Spirit, but it's a prerequisite for us to come to you. Keep us humble when we serve, so that we, our work, the work of our hands, the thoughts of our heart, be acceptable to you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.